The following program has been furnished and paid for by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSCB and KGBC are not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. It's the cyber version today. We have, once again, our cyber expert joining us, Mr. A.I. Nguyen. Nguyen, how are you today?
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
I can indeed. Before we get started, I want to give the normal disclosure, warning, disclaimer, etc. These techniques or strategies that we discuss on the air may or may not be suitable for you as an end user. You should always talk to your own computer systems, network systems experts, cyber experts, whoever maintains your firewalls. All those types of personalities need to be consulted before you start tinkering with either software or hardware related to trying to achieve some of the things we talk about. But anyway, that said, I know we've got very few listeners that would even think about touching the hot pan of water on the stove here, when if they were trying to
good advice
figure something out, right?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so what's on your agenda for today?
Well, you know, we have the news that last week about the SharePoint that been going around all the cybersecurity folks. What's going on to, you know, how the Chinese state sponsors are really unfolding the global cyber threat involving exploitation Microsoft SharePoint vulnerabilities. And the attacks are impacting the organization and government worldwide. And this is confirmed with the nation state involved in the Chinese. And I think last week when it first started was Sunday, 10 p.m. when I first saw the news. It's affecting about 90 organizations. And by the end of like in 3 days, like 400.
And is this through, I mean, it's like the Microsoft SharePoint servers are the front door,
so
is that just one of the
I just want to make clear, so they have two versions of SharePoint. One is the cloud, and the clouds are not affected, but the one like the server on-prem, that means you have your own server, SharePoint, your own SharePoint at your data centers or your office they call it on-prem, that means at your office or at the data center.
Okay, and is this at a level like Amazon's AWS or?
AWS is a cloud. So this is on-prem, that means at your office, at your data center, your own data center. Yeah, you manage your own, right. So the cloud, the one that you have, is not affected. And the impact is pretty scary. There are two impact we're talking about. The first one is exfiltration of your data. That's number one. But the second one is more scary because they set up a shop, okay, and they stay there dormant, and they actually stay there. And the long term effect is even, we have no idea. That's how bad it is. They can sit there for years. The last time it was happening to Microsoft was 2021 when the Exchange server got, affected. Okay, but this time, we don't know. That's the problem. We don't know the impact. So you really can assess. So that's a scary part. You don't know.
Well, not only that, I saw one report about this, and it basically said they've breached about 400 government agencies, corporations, and other
include our nuclear
groups.
And
they're using ransomware among other things. So they may sit there dormant for a while and then start picking off, you know, one after the other. Of course, dormant, are they still discoverable by true experts in the cyber world?
According to the CISA and also the government's cybersecurity team, let's roll back a little bit. How they discover it? Usually, the patch is discovered by Microsoft themselves, but this time they're not. They accidentally discovered there was a team. It was like a contest in Germany, and the company that discovered this vulnerability, it was the Vietnamese military radio called Viettel, discovered, and they won $100,000 bounty. But they're the one who discovered it and tell everyone. So it's not that like a Microsoft discovered a patch and they patch it up. No. But the scary thing is that, imagine this, they found out that someone have the cryptographic key, like your master key. So even though Microsoft patching all this server, it's like patching server is like changing the lock. But if your burglar already have the master lock, so what's the difference, right?
Well, how does somebody, I mean, that's got to be somebody that's on the inside of some level of this.
Okay. So,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And did you hear after that, to everything, if you put two together, you know that Microsoft, according to the news, according to the stories, I think it's online, that they employ a lot of Chinese engineer to work on this type of system, for even from the U.S. And the whole thing going on, they even block those guys. They even block our engineer come back to the United States. The whole thing unravels everything. I don't know if it's really related, but the impact is that's what happened. You know, when you hire people and you don't validate and you don't vet them carefully, that's what happened.
Yeah. Well, and you started to say something. I wanted to hear the rest of it. I think I may have interrupted you. Part of this hack involved the U.S. Nuclear Weapons Agency.
Yep.
That's been breached.
Yep. So the internet-facing SharePoint server, that's the impact. And mainly the government, large corporation, university, and sensitive entities. And they don't know the thing. They don't know the impact. They're still evaluating the impact. And federal and state agencies are affected. So imagine this. You know, last week we were talking about privileged access management, and I thought, like, that is the most secure, you know, like how identity management. You can throw this down the water. They're already inside. It's dormant.
Well,
one
of the articles that I saw, and I don't know how they can make this claim, but they said so far no sensitive or classified information has leaked, according to Bloomberg. Well, how would they know?
How do they know? You know, it's affecting more than 400 organizations, and they don't tell you everything. Those organizations, they don't tell you everything. How do they know, right? So Google and Mandiant and all those companies, they realize the impact, okay? And like Microsoft, Mandiant, and Reuters and all this stuff, but still even CISA, that's a government website, cybersecurity, and even an FBI cyber unit could confirm. But nobody know the impact of it. That's what's scary. You don't know, right?
Yeah.
So here's the thing.
Go ahead.
So what they recommend right now is, besides have malware scanning, you should patch it more frequently. So they say patching alone is insufficient to mitigate the threats. You got to have more layer of security. Patching is necessary but not efficient. Organization must revoke and reissue the key. Remember, I told you about the key already stolen, right? The main key.
Right.
You had to redo the key all over again. That's the only thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's what they can do, right? So they it also recommends some recommendation how you go about to take care of it immediately, like install security patch, and change your key. But I don't know. At this point, we don't know. As of yesterday, there's over 400 organizations, 300 up from 300 from last Sunday. So we'll see how the impact is going to be.
That's that's a lot of organizations and a lot of people. Let's see, there was something else that I saw. Oh, there was something a little bit closer to home that happened a year ago, but I guess it's just now being revealed. The Texas Alcohol and Drug Testing Service had a breach, massive data breach, that was finally revealed this month. They admitted hackers had gained access to sensitive information belonging to approximately 750,000 individuals. So I guess that would make those folks ripe for blackmail, at least some of them, you know, if they had results that were something that they would not want to get out, you know, to their cohorts, their colleagues. But it also involved passport numbers, driver's license, and bank account details, among other things, health insurance files, login credentials, etc. And they delayed notifying the people that were affected until this month, July of 2025, even though this happened July of 2024. Wonder what gives with that. I mean, how can they get away? I mean, I guess because it's government, or maybe this isn't government. It's testing services, so that may not be. Maybe a contractor, right?
That go back to the scatter spider. That's one of those hackers employed by the bad actors. You know, like they work across, you know, from UK and the US and Canada.
So it's all around, yeah.
They're all around, and these are called APT. These are more advanced hackings. So this is all of this, and even Cisco got. That I have never seen so many hacking in a month. Okay, besides Microsoft, you also
have. We say that every month, don't we?
Yeah, it's every like day. Every and I think that's another one. You know, and another thing too. You know how you have like the web server on like AWS. You just mentioned.
Yeah,
They have called the web. This was called the web. Application firewall. That's another layer of security. And somebody just found out how to bypass that.
Great.
Yep. So basically, the way you catch the bad guy is that after you click on the phishing and you download the payload, and usually the malware system will pick up the payload, see how big the payload is, right? But this time they make it more smaller. You can't really detect it. And when it downloads to your computer, then it reassembles itself to a bigger payload. So during the process, the malware cannot pick it up. Did they outsmart? This is like a cat and mouse game, and it continues.
Yeah, it sure.
That's
is.
Why you have to keep up to date with it. I tell people you have to up to date with this all this stuff. You cannot. You have proactively. You can no longer wait until it happening. You have to stay up with the game. But it's kind of tough, you know. Because I have people say, now we spend more money on security. We're not a security company, but we spend more money than security company. This is not our core business.
Yeah, that's true. It's just a whole layer of cost that's been added to overhead.
So do you have SharePoint yourself? Do you have SharePoint? Do you use SharePoint?
Not knowingly. I mean, I can't tell you that some of the companies we host with,
that's right.
Yeah, you know, they may. We're on several data center products, that's, even something like Intuit.
That's
you
know, where I'm getting at.
I mean,
that's exactly where I'm getting at. You don't know your supply chain. You don't know that your vendor are doing that. That's why vendor management is so critical. Yeah. And you see, sometimes it's not your fault. You can do the best you can, but the people you're doing business with are not doing it, and it's affecting you too. So now you have to protect yourself against your vendor. And vice versa.
Yeah.
But see, the impact is huge.
Wow.
So now, here's another thing. I don't know if it's related or not, but at the same time, last week the Chinese prevented the U.S. to leave China. You hear about that?
No. Wait a minute. Prevented the U.S. from leaving China?
That's right.
Like at what level when you say the U.S.?
Executive, official executive, engineering.
Of the U.S. government or of companies
the company,
based in the U.S. The company, doing business in
the
China?
Company okay. and government based at the same time.
That.
At the same time, you have this thing going on. Because what they found out that they employed the Chinese, Microsoft employed Chinese local to maintain the SharePoint, maintain Microsoft products for the U.S., including the government. They say, we vet them, we control, we have quality service, we have quality control. But at the same time, they're blocking those people from leaving. What does that tell you? I don't know if it's related or not, but it just happened at the same time. You can look it up on CBS News all over. Like here, one here, China imposed exit ban on U.S. Department of Commerce employees and Wells Fargo banker. Wow. Look at this.
It's a small world we live in when you look at the effect of, you know, attacks like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's well within reach. You know, there were two airlines, it appears. I was just scanning a list of breaches. Qantas was one.
Oh, yeah, that's last week.
That right? had a significant breach. Mm-hmm. And then Hawaiian Airlines was hit by a cyber attack. One of them, I think it was Qantas. This sounds unrealistic, but they referenced 6 million. Let me see, or maybe that's a healthcare.
Is that the airline? That's the Qantas.
Well,
airline.
Qantas is an airline. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's an Australian.
Yeah.
Let's see here. 6 million customers have service records on the platform that was attacked, with data including some of their names, email addresses, phone numbers, birth dates, and frequent flyer numbers. So no social or TDL or driver's licenses were in that, apparently. But again, who knows, right? You never know what actually was taken.
So what's going on with the world? So let me ask you something, you know, kind of switch topic a little bit. What happened over Cambodia and Thailand?
Well, it's a long story.
Does it impact you at all? Does that impact you at all?
No, not yet. But you know, if the missiles started flying towards the big city, I mean, the Cambodia, and I don't know what to believe. I know my wife has some pretty stern opinions of the Cambodians. Apparently, they're like the little brother to Thailand. They're very jealous of Thailand. She says they will come up with things like they've got a holiday that's exactly a duplicate of one that Thailand's had for years and years and years, and they act like they created that holiday. And then there's other stuff. There's colors that, like, they designed some boat, you know, a historical, you know, wooden boat type thing that looks almost identical to the ones that Thailand had created a long time ago. And they claim that Thailand copied them. And stuff like that. So you start off with the petty stuff, and then you get into more history. And I don't know the exact history. All I can tell you is that many years ago, that there was a chunk of land up in the, would have been the northwest part of Cambodia, northeast part of Thailand, that had some temples in that area that were, you know, something that both countries lay claim to. And Thailand's never been colonized. You know, that's a true statement. They're very proud of that. No mm-hmm. French, no UK influence. You know, they've always been their own people. And yet there was a point with this Cambodia. Cambodia took part of their land. They didn't colonize them. They just stole part of their land in this area. And the Thai have been, you know, rattling sabers ever since. And it's at a critical gateway, you know, for Thai citizens to go to Cambodia and Cambodians to come to Thailand. Many people work just across the border, and then you've got, a lot of the Westerners do their visa runs when they've got to leave Thailand for 10 minutes to get their visa stamped. They right. go to the closest spot is that border where all that fighting's going on, and it's just sad.
How far do you live?
It's a long, it'd be, if you were driving, probably an 8 or 9 hour drive. I mean, it's a long way away, but, and Cambodia, they don't have the most up-to-date military weaponry. My wife was telling me that one of the missiles they fired actually ended up in Laos, which would be north of Thailand. Hmm. And so you've got that. And, of course, Thailand's flying F-16s, that we provided, and they're doing damage. But so far, I mean, they've had, I believe it's a total like 12 or 13 people killed. I'm adding both sides together, and I don't know how many injured, because Cambodia put some landmines out on the Thai side of the border, and that I don't know if that killed or maimed, I think, several Thai soldiers. But I don't know, it's really sad. And you think about it, I mean, I think the same thing about Ukraine. I mean, some of these countries have very modern buildings and structures, and I can't imagine if missiles started flying into Bangkok the damage that it could do. I mean, it would be unbelievable. And I just, why in this day and time do we, have these types of, flare-ups? I mean, it's like, are they that short-sighted? I mean, Cambodia stands to lose as much or more as Thailand. This is pretty much a stalemate, I think, in terms of what they might lose. And then you layer on the big flare-up with the Prime Minister of Thailand a month ago, where a phone call leaked, where she was promising the old PM, who's, I think his son is the PM now, and he's now the head of the Senate, but he's been there forever, and he's kind of the one that is the de facto leader. And he had a phone call, and he knows the current PM, and this goes, I'm getting way too deep, but bottom line is the current PM is the daughter of a prior PM, a guy named Thaksin Shinawatra, or I think I'm saying that right, Shinawatra. He's a Sam Houston State University grad, just to bring it back close to home, right? It's mm-hmm. crazy. And anyway, he's a billionaire, and was exiled for years. He was, a coup took him out back right after right before I first came over to Bangkok in 2006. And he's sticking his nose where it doesn't belong. He's been involved in negotiating the tariffs. He's not part of the government, and it's like he just acts like he is. And I guess the current government, they actually should, he's a business guy, they should, he's like a Donald Trump, and he should be involved, but nobody voted for him, right? So there's some issues there, obviously. And now I read yesterday or today that Trump himself has called for a ceasefire, and he's gotten involved. And, that means, because they're both negotiating tariffs right now. In fact, Thailand's deadline is next Friday, August 1st. And they've just submitted their supposedly best offer that they can make America. But America needs to, I mean, there are some intangibles here that, people that they know the history, they're a little bit bent out of shape over the tariff thing because, Mr. Trump, to his credit, is treating them just like they're any other country. And when it comes to the ASEAN group of countries, that's the organization that all the countries over here are a member of, Vietnam and Malaysia and Philippines.
So many things going on. Asia, Ukraine,
and so,
all kind of stuff.
Yeah, but anyway, Thailand has been America's friend and vice versa for 100-plus years. They've always stuck with America, and, I just hope America can make it happen. But, when from Vietnam, or I think you remember back, when, the VAT tax, you've heard of VAT, right? VAT?
Too long.
Value-added tax? Oh, okay. Well, value-added tax. Vietnam charged, all the Asian countries charge a VAT tax. And it took America, I think, a while to realize, hey, that's another tariff. It's like 10%, I think, or maybe it's 7%. But, you know, the American tariff negotiators, they're going after that VAT tax. They're saying, hey, that's a tariff. So we're starting there. We're not letting you do a tariff and then, you know, still keep your 7%. But I don't know. I mean, the good thing from our perspective, meaning America's, is that we have the world's largest marketplace that everybody wants to sell to. Now, it may not be every product, every industry, but we are the market of first choice. And I think that that will serve us well. But I do hope, because, you know, Thailand's such a unique country and Bangkok is just an amazing city. I do hope that the tariffs don't become just catastrophic, because Bangkok's going through some hard times right now. You know, this is the low season. And then, you know, the tourism has dropped by almost 50%. I think it's more than that, because the Thai media has never been one to really report the truth when it comes to either the real estate industry or the economy. And, you know, the Chinese are the big component that have quit coming here. And part of that is the government's part. You start messing with visas. And see, a lot of people are going to Vietnam and Cambodia now because those two countries have a lot of the same metrics, the same attributes, and they're cheaper. And they're not playing games with the different visa rules like Thailand has. And so it's kind of a, you know, jumbled scenario. But fortunately, being married to a Thai national and having a son that's half Thai, I'm in the best possible visa status that I could be. I don't fear having to leave the country or anything, but I tell you what, they're getting rid of the type of strategy that a lot of Westerners would use, where they come in here and they get a 60-day visa and then they renew it for 30 days. So you theoretically could come here and stay for 90 days without sweating. I mean, it wasn't like an unknown. And they've gotten rid of that. And now they're making it, you can't get a bank account if you are on anything less than what we call long-term visa, like I have. And they're trying to change that to where they've got the more, I guess, affluent Westerners that are staying longer than just coming for a, you know, month or two. So I don't know. It's crazy how all this stuff is just kind of mushroomed. I mean, when I got back here in March, very little, any of this was being discussed. And then, it's just mushroomed. I mean, it's crazy. And anyway, we'll stay on top of it as far as what the rules are for me. But I'm not worried about anybody else, but anyway.
Switching the topic in the next section, I want to talk about how we protect ourselves, because that's another topic I want to talk about. You want to take a break first before we do this?
Well, yeah, let's go ahead and take a quick break. We'll circle back here in a few minutes with more of this week's Be a Planner show, the cyber version, momentarily.
Grindstones and rhinestones have made up my life, but I shine like a diamond. Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-782-1900. That's 713-782-1900. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com. That's Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make it.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. This is our cyber security version, and I've been discussing some of the recent cyber attacks, ransomware, etc., with our AI cyber expert, Mr. AI Nguyen. Mm-hmm. And one attack that I didn't mention, or I didn't recall seeing, I know we didn't mention it a month ago, was the Whole Foods, a Whole Foods supplier shut down deliveries to, I guess, Whole Foods and everybody else. It says it's a major supplier to Whole Foods.
You know, that kind of remind me, like when 9/11 started, we said that this is a huge, we should prepare for it. Well, nowadays, every day is 9/11. So at first, when I see something like this, and I say, wow, that's huge impact, right? But now I receive news that we have hacking and ransom every day. Like the news last month is so seamless. I mean, it's no insignificant. I mean, it's not a big deal anymore. You know, it happens so often.
Don't you think that almost every successful hacking attack involves ransomware, whether they say it does or not? I mean, why bother if they're not getting...
There are two kinds, right? Before you have, like, they leak your information and say, if you don't pay me, we send it out to people. We let everybody know. We let everybody access, right?
So they just threaten that, hey, you know, we got this information of your customers, but that's not necessarily deemed to be ransomware? Ransomware is just the database control?
Well, ransomware is the process that actually encrypted your file, and you need the key to open it. The other one is that you don't pay me, I release it. They're both the same, similar, but the same, right?
Yeah.
Like one hold a gun to your head and say, you don't give it to me, I'll send it, I'll release your information. And the other one said, you know, I won't release the key, I have the key. You want your file back? I want the key. Now, guess what? The new ransomware server, they do both. They do both. Now, they up the ante. So basically, they scare more people. Like, they go to like Whole Foods. They go to another company. They say, you know what? We got your information. You don't care about your data? Fine. You don't need the key? How about we leak the information to everybody to see your competitors? Your competitors see everything you have. You see?
Yeah.
People react. And that's the next step. That's why it's important that... You know, nowadays I go to a lot of conventions and place where they talk about security, and nobody talk about, hey, we have the best security and we can stop all this. No, nobody say that. You know what they're asking? How fast do we get it back if we get hacked? That seems to be the only question now.
Yeah.
That's, and how do we fix it? How do we get it up and running again? Right. So I want, the next topic I want to talk about is a, at the same time, here's another one. There's a, more than 16 billion login credentials have been leaked. Okay, this is another new
how, that, 1 6 or 6 0?
1 6, 16, okay, 16 billion login, wow, credential. And all the, you know, I have a service called Undelete, and it kind of tells me that if my password has been leaked, thing like that. Well, last week until today, I got so many alerts from them. Hey, you got all your password, all this guy. So what people need to do, okay, today, you need to change all your password. Now, this is affecting your Facebook, Apple Store. Apple, I don't care about Facebook, but Apple, Facebook, Google, GitHub, Telegram, and various government services. You need to change your password, and you make it, this is what you can do, okay? Change your password, create strong password, and enable two-factor authentication. That's the that's like a text or a service to give you the numbers every time with or the passkey. You know who this is going to impact the most. So, a lot of the elders, especially the people who live in the senior home, they don't know how to use. Believe it or not, they don't know how to use the two-factor authentication. Like for example, accessing their bank, accessing the email or their resources, and then require another text sent to their phone. Okay? And they don't have that.
Yeah.
And a lot of them give up on their cell phone. They don't have cell phone anymore. Now the banking and all the investment firm force you to use that. So that's going to be a challenge for them right now. They, you know, a lot of, they don't use phone anymore. They use like a local phone at the senior place. They don't have cell phone anymore. And all of a sudden, every day they're receiving, you train them that they have a lot of texts every day, and all of a sudden the texts come from the bank. How do they know they're different? You see the challenge?
Yeah.
Yep. So it's happening. So that changed everything. Now all the bank, they force you to use that now, a secondary authentication. So that can be a huge impact. So that's one thing we will talk about this section. 16 billion credential. So how do you know if you affect it? How do you know?
Well, good point.
So you should change the best way. Don't worry about if you affect that. You know you affect. Change your password. Make it stronger. And don't you know what the best way to do? Use phrases that you know. For example, phrase like you know, in Houston, you know, it's always storm or whatever. It's always hot. You know, just use the phrase and then capitalize it that you remember. But use a long one. But don't use like a... People use... I'm surprised people still use the password 1234.
Oh, I know. It's the most common one, right?
Mm-hmm. 1234 or 1234. Actually, 1 2...
Or password.
Or password. And with capital P, you know, they're still doing it. So, let me see here. Oh, so beside... So last week, CISA, that's a government cybersecurity advisor site. So last week, they talked about Microsoft SharePoint. And guess what next? They're talking about industry security. Remember, we were talking about the OT? Operations technology, like the pipeline, the midstream. So the government just sent out the news all about all those Honeywells, all those industrial components they need to patches. So that's the one of the main thing, industrial. Small business, industrials, what else they have? Oh, education, university. You know how easy it is to hack those?
Oh, it must be easy. I noticed Columbia got hacked recently, and they weren't the only ones. There's been several. You don't even hardly pay attention anymore.
So I don't know is that the student in there, they try to prove themselves, or they working for those people can be called the scatter spider. They can be recruited by hackers, okay, to infiltrate.
Yeah.
And then, you know, here's another one too. You know, well, I'm going to turn back the clock. Like 10 years ago, there was an engineer. that was working on the B-2 bomber. And you know what he did? He took the entire schematic and sell it to Israel and India and China. Our B-2 bomber. How do you control that? These are the people, the engineers that are working on our technology. You know? Here's another one. SAFECOM released the Emergency Communication System Lifecycle Planning Research. What is this? Here's another ransomware. Okay. So you're using Google, right? Did Google force you to change the password? They forced me to change the password 2 days ago.
No, I didn't get that. Google doesn't force you to ever change it, do they? I mean, I guess they did because you're telling me.
You got to be careful. This is what happened. So I have Google, right? Google's suite. First, they send you a couple email. They say, hey, you need to verify this. Is this yours? If it's not yours, if you do not change this, then you can hit continue. But let's just say they send you a couple email. You don't. They disconnect you. Then they force you to do it. I got forced. Yeah. So they force me to say, they lock me out. They say, you need to do a recovery password. So often then I cannot access my Google Doc and my Yahoo and my Google and my YouTube. That's how I know that I need to change the password.
I see.
Mm-hmm. So that's the way they do it. Google changed a lot of stuff overnight. So SafePay is another ransomware game. SafePay. Look at this. Like today, six more companies. Triangle Heating Cool Companies, Hudson River Housing, the law firm. They're all over. Look at this. Here's another one. Oh, social engineering tactic. I want to talk about that. They're getting smarter. Okay? Now, do you see the new deepfake technology they're using voices? I can use your voice. Yeah. I can use your voice. So if you receive a phone call, okay, and it asks you a question, the whole objective is to you to say yes. Is this, for example, is this Nathan? You say yes. They capture the word yes. Okay? So they can use your voice. And
what about
yes.
Hello? Like, you know, these phone calls where they've spoofed your number. And when you say hello, what is that just going to give them the sound of your voice? What is that?
Well, sometimes if you have the service like the bank, it's looking for the word yes, right? So the word hello.
Right, because that's an affirmative. Mm-hmm. Did you want to buy something? Yes.
That's right.
You know.
So they want to capture that. So they're using your voice. Yes. So when you're banking, you have other servers that require those kind of confirmation. That's how they capture. That's the social engineering deepfake technology. And it's getting very sophisticated. Okay. And I have a lot of security software on my phone. And I filter out all my cell phone, all my phone calls, and I still get them. Like I have last week I have a social security email, and I tell you, it almost got me. Okay, it came from the right government source, but
you mean SSA.gov?
That's right. However, if you look it on the phone, you can't tell the difference. But on the computer, you can tell. You know how I do it? Hit reply all. Just use your phone, hit reply all, okay? And it will tell you from and to. So to is SSG in your name, that's correct. But the from is something else. Okay? That's how I know. But they almost got me. So, you know, people like myself, I'm cybersecurity. If they almost got me, what do you think of normal people?
Oh, I know.
You know? So, recognize deepfake. Oh, my God. There's so many things. AI-driven malware and attacks. Look at this. So, now they use AI to the max. You see the new stuff on AI? Are you keep up with the artificial intelligence?
Well, not like you do. I mean,
they're getting good.
Yeah.
They're getting good at it, and I tell you the thing that is called AI agent that allow them to do so many things that the agent can do, like they can use your voice and make phone calls, do cold call, things like that, using your own voice, do all that and make process. But the people who are doing this forget one thing. Imagine if they hack into your phone, your system, that you're doing that to do other stuff. That using your voice to hack other people, using your voice to do other stuff. That's liability. That's lawsuit going to happen. You see? You know what I'm talking about when I say AI agent?
Well, it's more than a bot, right? Or are you referring to a bot?
It is. So usually when you use the bot, usually when you use, back then you use cold call, right? And basically an AI agent is a security tools acting, you know, as on your behalf, like do the process. Let's just say every day you update your spreadsheet and you update your database, you do all that. Imagine that process can be done to AI agent for you, okay? But that is good, but it also useful bad. Imagine if the bad guy go in and modify that system, that doing other stuff, delete your file, send it to your. Oh, and here's another thing. If you click on, and this happened a lot, very frequent. If you receive an email and they ask you to confirm, right? The moment you confirm, you hit on the link. If they ask you to confirm like a Windows authentication or Google authentication, the moment it happened, you click on that. It's a script. Let's just say if you click on it and you have an Outlook open and you have, let's just say you have over 2,000 contacts, it will send 2,000, it will use all your contact and send out the stuff on your behalf. And that contact also going to click on it and they're going to send other people the same thing. It's a chain reaction. It's like a bot, you know? And it's happening. I've seen it in action. So all of a sudden, they sent over 800 email. 800 email. Well, the good thing is Microsoft already stopped. If it's over 600, it stopped automatically. It won't let you send anymore. But the other side you send it to another customer, your customer becomes your spam, and they become their spam, and so on and so on.
Oh, gee.
Now sound like Wayne's World. And so on, and so on, and so on. You know? So that's all our topic for today. The main one is really
We've
SharePoint.
Got about 5 minutes left. Mm-hmm. When are you tracking, like, hardware with notebooks? I mean, I'm seeing more of, and I'm switching topics here more to an AI scenario. I'm seeing NVIDIA is being touted. I mean, I guess, I don't know if they're CPUs, GPUs, you know, whatever the main processor is these days, is that still a CPU on a notebook?
Yeah.
Or is it a?
They're always
it's CPU. Not a blended.
They're always.
Well, I mean, it's not a combined CPU GPU scenario. I mean,
they make it smaller, like AMD to make it smaller. Did you see the one that I just built? The one that looked like a noodles that I put inside. I gotta show you. So basically, in the palm of the hand, it's CPU memory. It's like skeleton type, and then you—it's so small and doesn't use a lot of heat. And by the
smaller
way,
smaller than the Raspberry. It sounds like
almost close, right. But because you still need a small power supply, it's a little bit bigger than Raspberry. And it got hard drive, solid state hard drive in there, and it has memories. I gotta show you the photo. Now here's the thing, though. October and November this year. A lot of hardware Microsoft already sent out. There are a lot of laptops and a lot of laptops out there and notebook and even desktop. You cannot upgrade to Windows 11. You know that?
No. Where's the cutoff?
I got three. November this year. No, November 25.
Well, I mean, what rev of Windows? What is it? 10?
Windows 11.
Now, what's the current? What's the current
Windows 11
version?
Windows 11.
So anything running Windows 11 and back will not be able to update to whatever, what is it, 12 is the next one?
I don't know on 12, but all I know is that you must, on November this year, you must upgrade all your Windows 10 to Windows 11. And a lot of hardware failed the test. I got three of them and it won't work. I got a workstation and I got advanced system and I pay a lot of money. And guess what? I cannot upgrade
to
Windows.
That's crazy.
I know. Microsoft is like Apple now. They control the hardware and the software now. So I got three of them. Now, what happens if you don't do it? You don't get any patch, right? You don't get any update. And a lot of stuff like Windows, Google, especially Google, a lot of software won't work. And that's the risk. That's a big risk. I got three computers I have to upgrade. My own.
And is that processor issue? Is it it's the operating system, I guess?
Mostly processor and also the motherboard, because that's a basic input. It's the whole thing. It's not just a processor.
Man, what a...
Driver.
What a
driver.
Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a boom for the hardware industry. I mean,
yeah.
HP and all those folks. If you were buying a machine, let's say you were buying a machine where your primary focus was portability and AI in the Windows world. Yeah. I know the answer in the Mac world. What's the answer in the Windows world? What are you looking? Who makes what that's a preferable item?
You can see, here's the thing. Microsoft Control, because they wrote the software, you run their OS, you run the kernel. Right, the kernel, that's memory control. That's the bridge between your application and your hardware. The kernel tell the application which processor use, which memory use it. They control that. So now if your CPU is not up to par, then it won't work. They control that. It's just like, you know, you own a lot of Mac, you can use up to 5 years, right? After that, they said you can upgrade anymore. And that's it. No patching. What happened? Others that won't work.
Yeah.
So now,
well, what about you know, when you go into a Costco or whatever, and we can argue about whether you should ever buy a computer from Costco. I tend to think the older I get, the less I need to be on the cutting edge. So Costco's a pretty good value set, right? But I see signs where they're always referencing NVIDIA, and I know they're not the processors, but
video.
They're optimized.
Video and
right,
processor.
They're optimized for AI. So is that all GPU?
So
video?
No, they don't call CPU. They call GPU now.
Right, the GPU. Mm-hmm.
So GPU and CPU. Now, a lot of systems are using both. One is a single performance, and the other one for graphical AI, right? Now, I think, you know where... I think where things are going, if they probably could have a, if you buy, let's just say Costco or HP can come out and say, you know, if you buy from us, you can upgrade it. They're going to force you to upgrade it. I think this is going to happen.
Wow.
I think this is going to happen. You buy a laptop from them, and eventually they say, you know what, if you pay a subscription, and we will upgrade it for
you. Yeah, you can just, kind of like the iPhone.
Exactly.
Hey, we've got about 45 seconds left. I hate to cut you off. We'll be back right here on KSCV AM 700 and this coming Friday at 11 a.m. We appreciate you tuning in today and hope you enjoyed the content. Let us know if you have questions. And once again, thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.